Those that are going to answer the question, please move to the front of the room.
So we're preparing for this, but in the meantime, we have some requests on how to proceed with the question and answer session.
And this is the information session for the RFP, and we'd like to ask you to ask questions only about the project content and the procedure. So please do not suggest any proposals for specific technologies. Also, we have about 1 hour for the Q&A, but we'd like to ask as many people. We'd like to be able to accommodate as many questions as possible. So please make sure you keep your questions concise. And also, we would like to ask you to limit to 3 questions at one time. Also, if there are any questions that are not covered in the Q&A time, we have an email address of the project management office, and questions are taken at this email. So please send any questions that are not addressed here. And so now we'd like to ask those that who have questions to raise your hand, and I will point to an individual, and the microphone will reach you. So please.
My name is Naito. I'm from Kabushiki Gaisha Naito. About the scope of this RFP, I have some questions. The kind of scope that I have heard is not in line with what we have today. So when I say what I heard, I think I am referring to RFI process. At the time of RFI, there was a scope given to us. To be more specific, this is about the control of the criticality. So I made a proposal to the RFI process, and then back then it was included in the scope. And there has been the answer in line with that. And then I look at the request for proposal at this moment. Inside the reactor F1 operation. So it is related to the handling of the nuclear fuel. So criticality is a very important issue. To avoid criticality is a very important issue. So that's the kind of prerequisite I had in mind. So that was the background with which I presented with the proposal. Certainly, it is very difficult to confirm the level of criticality. So that's why we made a proposal as to how we are able to make measurement of the criticality at the time of RFI. And I came here to make further proposals based on the RFI, the information that we presented at back then at RFI. And then, at this point, the is it included? Is that what I wanted to ask? So could you tell me, please, that whether it is included in the scope of the RFP this time? I read, should be the responsible party. Yes, about the scope of the RFP. Allow me to make some explanation. As to the scope of RFP, as has been explained, there are 3 projects. One is about the method of the retrieval of the fuel debris, and this second is the visual and measurement issue, visual and the measurement, the technologies, and then the third is fuel debris cutting and dust collection technologies. So, other than that, even if you have the essential technologies, if it is outside of this, and then we'll have the processes, if any, after we have some concrete measures decided upon. So about the management or control of the criticality, I think it was included in the supervision or monitoring technology inside the reactor. So it was considered to be one of the candidate for the monitoring technologies. And then here, you are thinking about the monitoring technologies only for this smaller arena. So I think the scope is very much narrowed from the scope of PFI, so RFP. So I think it is important to pay attention to the management and control of the criticality. So is it included? So I think within the scope, you have some monitoring technologies, but do you have the criticality management and control within the scope of the RFP this time? Listening to your presentation, you did not cover the issue of the criticality for the entire process. So could you tell me, please, whether this is included in the RFP this time? So could you tell me, please, whether this is included in the current RFP? We have from IRID, at the end of the April, we had the workshop in Japan, as was mentioned by Ms. Nakamura. This time, we do not cover the monitoring technology for criticality this time. So when it is deemed necessary, we have the PF RFP. However, the monitoring of the criticality is important. So at what point we have the monitoring of the criticality is also very important. So this information should be incorporated into the document. However, this is not the sole purpose. It should not be the sole purpose of the RFP. Well, allow me to confirm. So that means that you have to pay attention to the monitoring of the RFP. So it is not included in the RFP process this time. So it is not included, right? So that means that you will continue working on this without monitoring criticality? No, not like this. So this time we narrowed down the scope of the RFP. At the time of RFI, we had a wider scope. So please note that the RFP that we are having this time is much narrower than that of the RFI. So as mentioned, we have more technologies, for example, transport technologies or other technologies, which should be taken into account when certain other factors are determined. So that's the reason why we narrow down the scope as compared with RFI. Please note that this also remains to be important. So that means that it is not included in the RFP process this time. Yes, it is not included. So I understand that you will continue working on the criticality. So you do not work on the monitoring of the criticality. You will proceed without paying attention to that. So no, we would not launch any RFP for the monitoring of the criticality per se. But we make sure that the applicant will be able to pay attention to this issue of monitoring of criticality. So that means that you will not accept any proposals about the monitoring of criticality per se. Thank you.
Tsuchiya,
I made a submittal for the RFI, and my technology area is completely different, but I think it's the same concern. What we want to say is that at the RFI stage, you ask for a lot of technologies, but now when you give that explanation, there's no why. And when we look into the future, when is that future going to come? So we haven't been provided explanation about the overall picture of why. And let me explain again. And this slide I used in my explanation. And in the RFI process, we categorized them in looking at elemental technologies. As we show here, we have visual measurement and removal, cutting, transport, and supporting. And in this time, we only are looking at visual and measurement as well as cutting technologies only at this time for specific technologies, because the specific technology employed depends on what method will be employed, what overall method will be employed. And therefore, This time, we are trying to look at items that will be necessary for basically a wide range of methods that will be employed. And that's why we have chosen the visual measurement and cutting technologies. And what we mean by when we have a better idea of what the method is that, first of all, we have the RFP and looking at which methods we will move on to the conceptual study stage. Then once that is defined, then we may have an RFP that will ask for specific technologies. So if we do have an RFP for specific technologies, it will be from autumn this year or later. That is the current idea. Okay, so, well, you said you looked at the RFI information and you scrutinized that, and that is that's what the result is. But you didn't say that at the very beginning. If you said that at the very beginning, it would have been easy to understand. But okay, I'm sorry that there was a lack of explanation provided. Any other questions? At the very back, please.
IAC の江尻と申します。
江尻 from IAC. Please refer to 2.2, page 21. This is about the support by the knowledgeables for the evaluation. When you say knowledgeables, could you tell us, please, who will be the members? So will you disclose the names of the so-called knowledgeables? And then the material 2-3, this is about the procedures. And then the other documents include the financial statements and financial documents. So when I say financial documents, so if it is the 27th of August, and then if the closing is end of June or end of July, then they will not be able to make it. So when I say the financial statements or financial documents, should it be the latest version, and how late should it be? So for the first item. Yes, about the members of the knowledgeables, members of the evaluating committee. We will not disclose the names of the members. And about the financial statements, or financial reports, the latest one with the complete set is the kind of documents that we would like to request. Thank you. And then additional question here. You said that you will not disclose the name of the evaluation committee. So, in order to secure the transparency of the evaluation processes, in what way will you secure the transparency? So, as to the processes of the evaluation or the processes of the establishment of the criteria, are you going to disclose that about the result of the evaluation? Basically, we do not disclose the result of evaluation. About the applicants would be interested in the procedures of the evaluation and the reasons why their proposals are not adopted. And then, as necessary, we give them information to the extent it is all right within our organization. All right, thank you very much.
どうぞ。
Morishige from Fujimoto Tech. And I have three questions. On page 4, and it talks about three RFP topics, the conceptual study for the innovative approach. And I would like to submit for this, but if we look at the content, if we look at 3, the cutting and dust collection technologies, that is also a heavy part of that. But what should I do about that? And so my proposal is covering items 1 and 3. Should I submit for both 1 and 3? That's my first question. And the second question is on page 7, or it's about the prerequisites and assumptions. It's saying that the fuel debris, you give some assumptions, but what location and how much and how many tons of it? I don't think it's possible to say certainly for right now, but we would have to have some hypothetical conditions. For example, is it going to be only underneath the pedestal, or is it across all of the floor under the containment vessel? The location would differ significantly in terms of the method. So how shall that be considered? Also, item number 3 is that one of the examples of the methods that you give in The innovative approach, it says that the plant conditions, or whether there's some close capture of the plant conditions, but we do not know the detailed layout or layout drawings of Fukushima Daiichi Daini, and Fukushima Daiichi Unit 1, 2, 3. So how far do we need to take that into account? In the assumptions and approach, it is written in here, but just only with that information, it's difficult to come up with the or describe the details of the method. So could you please answer those 3 points? Okay, so let me answer. The first item about the topic 1 and 3, what if they're both related? What should we do about that? Well, regarding that, this is up to the discretion of the submittal applicant. So whichever there's more close relationship, but you know, more stronger ties, you could select each one of them, or you could submit for both 1 and 3, and 1 would be a more general method, and then number 3, you would focus on the specific technology. So this will be left up to the discretion of the applicant. Number 2. Was regarding the assumptions and prerequisites of the location of the fuel debris and so forth. But I would like to answer the third question as well with this. But in my presentation, I did describe this a bit, that on July 11th onward, the website will have the attachment which has some reference materials in it. And in it, for example, the fuel debris, the TEPCO and JAEA have made some analytical results. Also, there's some other analytical results that are available from TEPCO, I think. And so we will be posting links to that information. Also, in terms of the assumption and prerequisites, maybe these are not enough to make your methods or develop your methods, but in the website, we will provide layout drawings as well, as much as possible, as much as can be disclosed. So that information, some of that information will be provided on our on the website. So question on the back.
I am the agent of the representative of the MDA from Canada. I would like to ask you a question. This is similar information session will be held overseas. That's information we got today. And I looked at the updated information yesterday and the day after, before yesterday. And the time and the day has been disclosed, but as to how we are able to register ourselves for that overseas the information session, this information is lacking. So could you tell us, please, where this information session will be held? Or will this information be available to in later date? Would it be in Washington or in Europe? Or could you tell me, please, what it is about the information session outside of Japan? The only information that is able to be disclosed is the day and the date and the time of the day. So at an early stage, we'd like to make sure that we inform you of the location and the site and the way to register yourself. So we use the same web page to notify you of this information. So MRI, Mitsubishi Research Institute website, are you referring to that web page? Yes.
Any other questions? Please. Hamamatsu Photonics, Kobayashi. And we're looking at proposing for visual technology. But for example, if we only look at cameras, we have image sensors for high radiation areas and resistance. I think we can include that in our proposal. But what about camera? Is it a closed visual technology? Is that going to be the mandatory? Or could it just be a proposal for a particular device within a visual system? So I'd like to know what is possible. Okay, let me explain. For visual and measurement technology or cutting technology, the standalone device proposal is fine, it's acceptable. But if there's going to be a system and there's some interface issues that need to be paid attention to, that needs to be included in the proposal so that it would help in the it will make the proposal be more effective. Okay, one more question, please. Okay, so if it's a device within a system, it's a existing technology and it's going to be modified. In that case, if it is adopted or selected, and if it is going to be implemented when it's actually used, there may be some request to want to use it in other nuclear plants or in the fast breeder reactor facilities before Fukushima Daiichi. So when is that timeline end where we have that ownership to be able to use that technology in other nuclear facilities? So this is a subsidized project. So the intellectual property rights is going to reside with the entity. So therefore, the government or the project management office will not be using it, your intellectual property rights, per se.
Any other questions? Please use the microphone. Just one more thing. I made a proposal or we presented information at the RFI and it is not included for the scope of RFP this time. So could you tell me, please, when the information that we presented will be of use? So earlier you said that there is a possibility of you using the information that we presented at the process of RFI. So could you tell us, please, how you will utilize the information you gathered at the previous session of RFI. Thank you. Well, the information that I'm giving you would be in line with what I explained to you earlier. We received information from many entities at the RF, the I, and other than the visual and measurement technologies and the cutting and dust collection technologies, we will cover them in September or in fall at an early timing. So if it is deemed necessary, we have the RFP processes for the necessary information, for the necessary technologies that is considered to be appropriate. And in that situation, we learn from the RFI information. Any other questions?
My name is Yuji Miyake. I have three questions. Number one, as you talked about the 50 million yen per item, and there are three projects, and it will be a total of 150 million yen for the three projects, or is there several projects within each project, and therefore you would have more than that, several 100 million yen. And also you talked about the fuel debris removal starting in 2020 or expected to starting in 2020, but will you not be able to take any proposals that have another date besides 2020 to start? Also, I think there is an option to not remove that fuel debris removal, and you will not accept any proposals to say not remove the fuel debris. So this is a project management office. For the first item, there are three projects that are up for RFP, but depending on the proposals that are submitted, we will decide on how many will be selected. In terms of the budget, the one topic is a maximum 50 million yen. So if there's five, then there's going to be multiplied by five or multiplied by three if there's three. So the maximum amount will be 50 million yen per project or entity proposal. Okay, so next about your second question is fuel debris expected retrieval is from fiscal 2020, but what if it's going to be earlier than fiscal 2020? If it's earlier, that's fine to be included as a proposal. We would like to have a schedule that it would be possible to start removing in fiscal 2020, but if it's earlier than that, that is completely acceptable. And also about not retrieving the fuel debris. This RFP is a method to retrieve the fuel debris because if there is fuel debris inside of the reactor, by retrieving the fuel debris, it will reduce the risk to the surrounding areas. So at this time, the RFP is not looking at proposals for not removing fuel debris. Anything else?
Please. Minega from IHII. Three questions. Well, I have more, but I'd like to reduce it down to three, as indicated. This is about Form 2. When you have the consortium, so it's written here, and then in that situation, you clarify the members and the representatives, and then at the time of the application, do we have to state the names of the companies, or if we are still in the process of negotiation, can we say company A or company B? So could you tell me, please, as to the level of the accuracy of the information presented to you at the time of the submission of the application? The second, this is about the exhibit two. This is about item number four. For the fuel, this is about the identification method for the fuel debris. So if you are you try to retrieve the fuel debris at an early stage, then the within the reactor on site, it is impossible to work on the identification or the clarification of the profiles of the debris. So could you tell me, please, more about the level of the identification of the debris? And the third question is about the building cover. You establish or install cranes, and it says 100-ton class. So in the case of the Unit 3, on the 25th of June, TEPCO made an announcement, and application has been made. And the according to that, it says it is the 50-ton class. So about Unit 3, I think it makes sense to go back and think about this. For the fuel debris retrieval, then in that situation, you have to remove all these 50-ton cranes and then install the new 100-ton class crane. Is that what you mean for Unit 3? For the first question, I think this is about ICCM. The proposals that we ask for is is about a situation where you have the entire coverage, well, almost entire coverage, and then in that situation you ask for the cooperation of the other companies, company A or two, for the supplementary work. Then it's okay, you can say A and B. But in the case where the company A and B are indispensable for the realization and implementation of your proposals, then in that situation these company names should be disclosed at the time of the submission of application. Related question about the subcontractors. So it says that we have to disclose the names of the subcontractors. Well, is that okay to do that after we actually start the implementation processes, or do we have to clarify and clearly state names of the subcontractors at the time of submission? About the subcontractors, at the time of the submission of application, you don't need to clearly state the names of the subcontractors at the time of the submission of the applications. And then about your second question, about the identification of the debris, to what extent should it be done? And then this is different in the different scenario for the essential technologies and the method. So in the case of method, it is important to identify the location of the debris. So in that situation, it is very beneficial for the retrieval processes in the future. So if you have these essential technologies, please do come forward. In the case of the method, it doesn't have to be done. Well, the identification doesn't have to be done inside the reactor. So needless to say, it is important to have the exposure prevention measures or the prevention measures for contamination, and then it is all right to bring them to a certain designated area and then work on the identification. So if you are able to present us with this kind of the methods, then you don't have to stick to the identification within the reactor. Third question? I'm sorry, I forgot. You talked about, yes, the prerequisite or the assumption is that the 100-ton class crane is installed. When I say 100-ton crane, 100-ton type overhead crane, this is generally used for the retrieval of the fuels. This has been used for the spent fuel pool, and the spent fuel is still remaining in these pools in Unit 1 and 2 and 3. And so for the retrieval of the fuel, the debris, this 100-ton type overhead cranes can be used. So that's the reason why we use the term 100-ton type overhead crane. So the prerequisite here is that we are able to use the kind of 100-ton type overhead cranes which is currently used in the spent fuel pool. About Unit 3, the cover has been reduced, the size of the cover has been reduced, the size of the crane has been reduced. So this has been already written in the application documents presented by TEPCO. Please use a microphone, I can't hear you. So if you try to come up with a closure, and then even if it is the broken down, it is still very heavy. So 100-ton class or 100-ton type the overhead crane is needed for LAP head and DBG, LPB head or PCB head. A large size crane is needed. So the in terms of the area, the currently utilized the ones are not usable. So in the case of Unit 3, I understand that the process is ongoing for the installation of 50-ton class. So this is not in line with the kind of things that you try to do in the future. That's the reason why I raised this question. Any other questions?
よろしいです。あ、どうぞ。
Please. Okay, so I think we have some more time. So about my question, I don't think I got a clear answer. So the point that I want to clarify is that the goal is different. You're looking at the validity of the method, and you've just narrowed the focus on the method. But in the previous RFI process, you also talked about the environment, work environment. And so the work, well, I only talked about criticality, but work also has dose considerations as well. And you need to have some ingenious ways to work if you can't reduce the dose exposure. But when will those be? When can we actually propose those ideas? I think there's other ways of how there's other elements other than actually how the debris will be removed. But I think there's some different perspectives. But when are those areas going to be proposed, and who's actually thinking about those things? And I think we had some extra time, so I wanted to ask that question. So my answer doesn't really change very much from the previous time. But Nakamura talked about the RFI, and there's five technologies that they categorize the RFI technologies into, and visual measurement have become into one category. Cutting is it's a very challenging technology, so we wanted to start as soon as possible. For transport, it's better to have a better idea of the method, manipulators, robots, and other technologies we'll have a different RFP for. So at the very bottom, we have supporting technologies. And Naito-san, what you're talking about is about the supporting technologies, criticality monitors or cables that are resistant to radiation. And the idea is that we will look at that later on. That is a result. It's not that it's completely eliminated, and there's a lot of technologies that are desirable, but we want to take more time to discuss this and to do the RFP at a later date. So that's not included in the visual measurement, right? Yes. Visual and measurement is about looking at things visually and also identifying properties based on the properties. What kind of tools can be used for identification? And we'd like to have some information. Are we going to have to cut the debris? Are we going to cut the structures? And what needs to be used will be different. So identification is going to be important. That's why we use the word identification within the measurement. And so at this time, criticality monitoring is not part of the RFP. Please use the microphone. And I'm sorry, I cannot hear without the microphone. So we will have to look at this a little bit further. Please.
Morishige from Fujima. I have just one question. You have the plant conditions and the fuel debris conditions. So we have the prerequisite, which is the same for all the applicants. So the technologies, based on the same condition, would be limited. So in the RFI, I'm sure you have seen the information, which are very similar with each other. So in this process, you will have the similar projects or the proposals, so there could be the overlapping of the rights which are associated with that. So in that situation, are there any coordination activities that you have in mind? Perhaps the IREIT is responsible for this question, or maybe project management office. I'm sorry, I have to confirm what you just said. When I say that there are similar proposals, and then if in that situation we are not able to have any prioritization, could you use a microphone? This is a question about the patent. Well, I answered this question. This is the project for the subsidies of the government, so it doesn't mean, well, in this case, we will not be the holders of the intellectual properties. So the intellectual properties and rights associated with that would reside in the hands of the applicants. So there is no problem associated with that.
Please. Maekawa from IHI. So you are looking, we'd like to propose something for the method for Unit 1 through 3 from top and from the side. And there's a possibility for 6 methods. And do they need to be separated out and submitted? But top to side, should they be separate proposals, or in the RFP, you talk about PCV, RPV, and technologies to be able to remove the debris inside of them. So would it encompass both of them? If you need both of them to remove it, so it should be one proposal. How shall the proposal be construed? For fuel debris removal method proposals, it's whichever method is fine. For example, if you're going to remove from the top and the side, or top, one proposal for top and one proposal for side, that's fine. But to say one proposal is for from top, from the RPV, and then one proposal looking at going from the side for the bottom of the PCV, that's fine, whichever way to have it separate. But if the proposal is going to be more effective, if these two methods are combined, then that would be more desirable, perhaps. But that is up to the discretion of the applicant. Any other questions?
Well, if not, there is one. Thank you. This is the exhibit one. If you take a look at this, this is about the overhead crane and the dry separator, dryer separator pit, the fuels. So all these, all of them are already they retrieved. However, in the case of the separator pit and the SFE, is it the dry and the rocks for around this is removed? Is this a prerequisite? Is this a condition that we can consider? And also, on top of that, the rocks are already removed, and the dryer separator pits and the spent fuel pools are already cleaned. So that means that decontamination in the liner has been completed. Is that the prerequisite? In the assumptions and prerequisite that we are presenting to you, the debris has been already removed from the pool. So it is not that it is totally dry. So in the method that you present, if you need to have the dryness within the pool, and then in a situation, you have to start with the drying processes. So the fuel is already gone, and the rock is already removed, but it is the inside of the pool is not necessarily dry. So you have to make sure you have the process in your proposals to do that, to dry the inside of the pool, if it is necessary for your method. Any other questions?
We do have some time, but if there's no more further questions, we would like to conclude the session at this time. For your questions, as I mentioned at the beginning, we accept your inquiries at our email address, so please send your inquiries to our email address. Okay, so thank you very much for your participation and attendance.